For the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we would like to wish all our listeners and their families a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving holiday. And we, of course, need to be careful that we don't overdo it. That's always a temptation, is it not? Well, we remember Thanksgiving as it got started with the pilgrims and Indians giving thanks to God for their blessings. We need to be thankful to God every day and make a point of praising Him and thanking Him for the blessings that are only in Christ if we are a child of God, and certainly never take it for granted. Well, our study this morning will deal with the question, how shall we live before God? And it will come from the book of Habakkuk. Many have trouble finding that book because they're not familiar with the minor prophets, as some of them are pretty small. Well, that's why they're called minor, not because of what they contain, of course, the inspired Word of God. But there are great lessons to be learned from this inspired book, as well as all the books of the Bible, no matter their length. Minor prophets have lessons that need to be preached today because they relate to our times. Of course they do. Habakkuk is generally dated shortly before Judah, the southern kingdom, was taken into Babylonian captivity around 612 to 606 B.C. And this minor prophet, he deals with the problem of the people complaining. And he's taking the complaint of the people to God instead of taking the word of the Lord unto the people. So that is a difference here with Habakkuk. And we'll want to begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And that's what we all should be doing. Remember PFE to help us keep that thought in mind every day. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in here in Martinsville as we, of course, study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And as we come together to worship God, we're striving to follow John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That is, with a proper attitude and in accordance to the New Testament pattern that God has given us. Now, something else we want to mention. If you are interested in having a Bible study, please let us know and we'll set that up at your convenience. Also, if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can send those to us. The address again, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And there's where you'll find our radio sermons going back a number of years and our bulletins as well. Now, let's get into our study. As we're asking the question, how shall we live before God? And we want to learn along with Habakkuk to answer that very question. So we'll begin in Habakkuk chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Excuse me. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Many injustices are going on, and Habakkuk is taking the complaint of the people before God. Well, the problem here is God is perfect, and we shouldn't complain about what God does. The problem is with man, is it not? Well, we all know that's the case. We should. So Habakkuk sees these injustices are all around him in Judah, and he asked, "Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance?" Well, that's improper. We're reminded here of others. Well, our study last Lord's Day, remember, who is to blame if I am lost? And some wanted to blame God for their situations, as we noted. And some want to blame the preacher, perhaps. On the day of judgment, they may do that. Or blame family members or whoever. But it's not going to work, is it, before God? And so this is a similar situation where people are feeling that God is not involved in man's affairs. Like Job, who asked, "Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, or mighty in power?" And that's Job 21:7. Gideon, remember, we discussed, he said unto God, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath what? Forsaken us," he said, "and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Well, Gideon forgot that God's people forsook God. That's why God allowed the Midianites to overtake them. This is Judges 6:13. And so we know Gideon was made a leader, a judge, deliverer, as he got the signs that he asked for and even more. But here's another situation with Jeremiah, as he asked in Jeremiah 12:1, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously?" People ask that same question today, do they not? Well, here's another example. Asaph, the psalmist, reveals in Psalm 73, verses 2 and 3, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." You see the similarity of these examples? Yes, he learned, though, Asaph, when he went into the sanctuary of the Lord, that God's going to take care of the wicked. And, of course, Jeremiah would learn that as well, and Gideon. And, of course, Habakkuk, as we're studying, he will learn his lesson as well. But does this not sound familiar, as many today think that God is not involved in the world because of all the injustices of life? Or they question, why doesn't God intervene and do something about this? Well, we need to wait and think about what we're saying. Again, God doesn't make mistakes. Man has brought on the suffering, evil in the world. It's not God's doing. He gives us free will to make choices, and we need to be aware of what choices we're making. But God sees the whole picture. He sees everything, what's happened, what is happening, and what will happen. We don't see that. We see just a little bit of what's going on now, and we know, of course, things that happened in the past, but not everything. We certainly don't, and we certainly don't know what's going to happen. We can only guess. But we can know, of course, what God says in His Word, that the Lord is coming again. We just don't know when. But the point is, God is going to take care of things, whether we have the patience or not, to wait upon the Lord. And you see the answer God gave Habakkuk. Let's get back to Habakkuk now. Verse 5, chapter 1. This is God speaking to Habakkuk. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every strong hope, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Little g. Excuse me. Of course, the Babylonian army was severe, taking over the southern kingdom and taking them into captivity with some few left behind. And of course, later there was a return after 70 years to rebuild the walls and the temple. But notice, the point here is God is not limited as man. He sees the whole picture. Notice Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The point is, man should never, never, never judge God. We're not to put ourselves in that position. It's wrong, no matter who it is. God is just, Deuteronomy 32:4, and justice demands punishment when God's law is violated. But he is also long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3:9. Now let's go on in our study of Habakkuk and see God reveals how the just are to live. As our question is, how shall we live before God? Now notice Habakkuk here in chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, he makes a second plea concerning the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, who would conquer many nations, and yet they were more corrupt than Judah. He's making that point in these verses. Well, notice, the Chaldeans will be punished, but in God's time. Notice chapter 2 now, as we pick up with verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets or tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. Excuse me. So we see God will take care of the Chaldeans. The righteous shall be saved from the destruction if they remain faithful, as we go now to verse 4, which is a key in our study. Notice, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. The arrogant, the proud, that's lifted up, that's not being upright in God. But here's the contrast. The just shall live by his faith. That's the key. Yes, of course, trust God no matter what happens. And the righteous are going to be saved if they remain what? Faithful. Keeping the faith, keeping, in our case, the doctrine of Christ. Yes. Notice Habakkuk 2:4 is quoted by Paul in his inspired epistles to the Romans, to the churches of Galatia, and to the Hebrews. If Paul be the inspired writer, I believe he is. Notice Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, from a system of faith to our individual faith, as it is written. He's referring to Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. And so if we're going to be justified in the eyes of God, we have to be faithful, responding to His invitation in order to become a child of God, obey the gospel, and then live faithfully even unto death. And we will be justified by God. Now notice Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Which law? The law of Moses is being referred to. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. And now Hebrews 10:37-39. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Are we of the believing to the saving of the soul by being in Christ, having obeyed the gospel, and continuing in the faith, even unto death? Revelation 2:10, will receive the crown of life. So never, never, never lose confidence in the promises of God. Notice Job. We go back to Job 9:2. As we know, Job didn't give in to his wife who said, curse God and die. No, but he had questions. He got too big for his britches, and God called him on it. But he didn't desert God, did he? And he asked him an important question here in Job 9:2. He said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? He didn't know what was going on. Satan had brought upon all his misery and the loss of his children and possessions. You see, of course, he was wondering what was going on. And this was a question of importance. And God has always demanded what? Faithfulness for one to be justified. And so, how should man be just with God? Well, he has to have individual faith from the system of faith. In our case, again, submitting to the gospel of Christ, learning the truth, and obeying it. Well, notice, as we go back to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, for an example of one who lived by faith. Now, this is Genesis 6:8-9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Who declared Noah just? God did. And perfect in his generations. Again, God declared that. And here is how. Noah walked with God. And that's the key. We must walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ will continually cleanse us from all sins, all our sins, as we know in 1 John 1:7. So we need to walk with the Lord by keeping His commandments. Notice Hebrews 11:7, by faith. What kind of faith? Belief only faith? No. Notice, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Action. Faith with works of righteousness, obeying the commands of God, to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So one is able to stand justified in the sight of God by the blood of Christ, in obedience to the gospel of Christ, and remaining faithful unto the end. Look at Romans 5:8-10 with me. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And Romans 6:17-18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And Hebrews 3:12-14, let's note. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Be thou faithful unto death even. Remember that. Notice Hebrews 5:8-9. Though he were a son, Christ that is, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that, what? Obey him. That's it. That's the answer to our question. How shall we live before God? By faith, through the teachings of Christ and his doctrine. Yes, and we want to finish our study in Habakkuk, so let's go back here to chapter 2. And notice verses 18 and 19. As God sets forth that man is to reverence God, to put God first in our lives. Note, what profit the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. How stupid is it for man to make something and then worship it? Yes, that's what this is clearly stating, isn't it? How foolish it is. But here's the answer, verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. In other words, we need to reverence God, to put God first in our lives. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So then we asked ourselves, do we have reverence for God when we worship and study his word? What does our lives show? Let us heed Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's right. But notice now chapter 3 of Habakkuk, as Habakkuk responds to God's greatness by praising God. As I said earlier, Habakkuk is going to get straightened out here. Even in Habakkuk's fear, he trusts God and he expresses his faith as he praises God in prayer. Verses 1 through 19, the entire chapter here, chapter 3. And I want us to focus in on 18 and 19 as our time is drawing nigh. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. And this, of course, is a good way to finish out Habakkuk in our study, that Habakkuk responds to God's greatness by praising God. How do we respond to the greatness of God? Well, let's notice another example with David as he offered praise unto God in his prayer before the congregation of Israel. 1 Chronicles 29, beginning in verse 10 through 13. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Moses had that same attitude. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Deuteronomy 32:3. How often do we truly praise God? God is gracious, allowing us time to repent. But God is just, and He will punish the disobedient. We certainly should see that. We can be justified by coming into the contact with the precious blood of Christ and living by faith, a faith that is seen in obedience to God's Word, not a dead faith, but a living faith that's active, doing works of righteousness. Realizing God's greatness, we certainly should love and serve and praise Him. Of course, we must reverence God. Even when times are the most difficult, the decline of our nation, we still need to live faithfully even unto the end of our lives to have the victory in Jesus to be justified before God. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. We have to hear the truth. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. As we study God's Word, that's obvious. And we know that unless we believe that He is the one that died for our sins, we'll die in our sins. He didn't die for His sins, He died for ours, John 8:24. Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. That's clear, isn't it? So, after believing that Jesus is the Christ, we're motivated now to change our way of thinking. We're going to get out of a sinful life and start doing the will of God. We're changing our will. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. That is Romans 10:9-10, unto salvation. Now we're ready to be baptized. For what purpose? For the remission of sins, that is, forgiveness of our sins as we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. As Ananias told Saul, Why tarest thou? Arise and wash away thy sins. Arise and do what? Be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. And we thank you so much for listening today.